As a parent and now as a grandparent, I'm excited when God speaks to children. That's today's message from Dr. Don Wilton. Yes, this is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And this series on When God Speaks today is talking about when God speaks to children. We'll head to Matthew chapter 19 in just a moment, but know that we're here for you. And we're here 24 hours a day, both on the phone at 866-899-9673 and on the website, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. While you're there, sign up for the daily email from Dr. Don. It's a powerful word of scripture and encouragement and application. You can do it online right now at tewonline.org. Just sign up for the daily encouraging word email. Now, today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
You know, boys and girls, it occurred to me that as we've been studying a wonderful subject, when God speaks, I asked myself a question. What do you suppose it is that God would have to say to our children and through our children? God speaks to our children. In fact, the Lord Jesus had an incredible ministry on this earth. But in Matthew chapter 19, he had a very special encounter with little children. And I know, boys and girls, you're going to listen real carefully. I want to read this to you, and our moms and dads and others are going to open their Bibles to Matthew chapter 19 in God's holy word in the Bible. And I want to consider today one of the subjects that I love most of all. Here it is, when God speaks to children. Jesus had an encounter with little children. Let me tell you what happened. It's right here in the Bible. Bible says in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13, then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought the little children to Jesus. And so Jesus said, please don't do this. Let the little children come to me, Jesus said, and do not hinder them. Don't stop them, whatever you do, because the kingdom of heaven, the place where I'm from, the home where you're going to go and live forever because you know me and belong to me. If you want to know anything about heaven, it belongs to children. It looks like children, and it has the character and the heartbeat of children. Now let me read that verse again. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And so when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. You know, it seems to me that when the Lord Jesus had this encounter with little children, when he had a vacation Bible school right there surrounding Jerusalem, something extraordinary happened. Boy, it just blesses our hearts. And I've got a suspicion today that I believe as we study God's word together, God is not only going to speak to our children, but he's going to speak through our children to the hearts of all of us big people out there. So what happened when God speaks to children? Number one, he loves them. That's an amazing thing. That's exactly what happened here. It's just good old-fashioned love taking place. Boys and girls, I want you to know something today. I want you to know how much I love you. I love you with all of my heart. And you know something? We love you today. You're very special to us, sweetheart. All of you. We love you. And I'm telling you, the best thing that ever happened to us in our lives was that the Lord Jesus gave us you. In fact, I can't even imagine our lives without you around. And you know, every time I'm around you, it's just kind of like there is just so much love. And you know, it's an unpolluted love. It's a pure love. It's a precious love. It's an unspoiled love, isn't it? It's just the kind of real love that we read about in the Bible, where God so loved the world. You see, the kind of love with which Jesus loved children was the same kind of love with which Jesus gave himself. It was a pure sacrificial love. It had no strings attached. God gave us Jesus Christ despite ourselves. And Jesus Christ became obedient to the Father despite mankind. He just simply did it because he loves. God gave to us Jesus Christ, because without the giving and the pure love of God, you and I cannot live without the Lord Jesus. We must trust him as our personal Savior and Lord. And so when God speaks to children and through children, I couldn't get past this one, folks. He just loved them. That's all. Boys and girls, we love you. We actually don't even need to have a reason. It's just the way it is. We love you. Number two, not only did God love them, did Jesus love them, but he accepts them. Now, this is an interesting thing in this encounter in Matthew chapter 19, because the Bible tells us that Jesus actually accepted these boys and girls. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean he accepted them? Folks, there's something here that almost I missed. Do you know what Jesus accepted when he accepted those children? As much as he accepted the children, he accepted the fact that the children had been brought to him. He accepted the giving of those who were given responsibility to give their children to Jesus Christ. Now, there are two acts of giving that we need to talk about. Number one is the fact that God has given to us our lives. We accept the giving of God in terms of our lives. But folks, when we come and God gives to us our precious little boys and girls, what do we do with them? We dedicate our babies to the Lord Jesus. What is dedication? That's why almost every Sunday we have parents up here bringing their brand new little babies that you want to just gobble them up, and we dedicate those babies to the Lord. Yes, we're asking God to give the parents wisdom. We're asking for protection. But you know what we're doing, folks? When we dedicate our little ones to the Lord, watch this. We are bringing our little ones and we are presenting them. We are bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are saying, Heavenly Father, you gave us our sons and our daughters. We bring them back and give them to you, because you have entrusted us with the responsibility of taking care of these young ones. By the way, I don't know that I know of any of these boys and girls who perhaps were not woken up by somebody this morning, mom, dad, older brother, sister, get up, get up, get up, get up. Breakfast is getting cold. Guess what? Somebody helped you to put on the right clothes. Probably your mama did that. And guess what, folks? At least I hope this didn't happen. I don't think any of these boys and girls drove themselves to church today, do you? If that's the case, I need to find out about it. Boys and girls, how many of you were brought to church today? Raise your hands up. Just what I thought. Do you know something? Children do not have the means or the capacity to bring themselves into the presence of Jesus Christ and to sit on his knee. That is our responsibility, folks. That is our responsibility. I was stopped in the hallway many times this week, and one lady came up to me. She said, Dr. Wilton, she said, I've got such a sad heart. I said, why? She said, well, my neighbor's got three beautiful children, you know, 5, 7, and 9, something like that. And she said, they are wonderful people, but they just will not bring them to a place where they can learn about a Savior who died for them. What a responsibility. Folks, this acceptance that Jesus bestowed upon children was an acceptance based upon an action that took place. It's an incredible thing. When God speaks to children, He loves on them. He accepts them. But watch this. Number three, He blesses them. Did you notice what happened here in Matthew chapter 19? Jesus gathered the little children around Him, and what did He do? He blessed them. Now, I'm going to show you something, folks. This is very, very important. We cannot let this go by, moms and dads and grandparents, because there were two essential ingredients in the blessing that God in Christ Jesus conferred upon these children. He blessed them in two ways. Number one, He blessed them by touching them. Look what the Bible says in chapter 19. That Jesus laid His, what? Hands on them. He touched them. A couple of months ago, I found myself down at one of our retirement centers. And I was about to leave. I'd visited a number of our people, and I was busy walking down the corridor and exiting the retirement center, and all of a sudden I heard a voice, "Dr. Wilton, Dr. Wilton, Dr. Wilton." And I looked around, "Dr. Wilton." And I stopped, went back a few steps and looked into one room. And there was the sweetest old lady lying in a bed in the retirement center. She had the bed sheets right up to her chin. All I could see was her sweet face. I walked in there. She said to me, "Oh, Pastor," she said, "I never thought I'd ever meet you in person." She said, "I worship with you on television for years and thank your church," and went on and on how God was blessed. And she was just so precious. She was over 90 years of age. And as she began to talk to me, I just lifted up the bed covers a little bit, moved it down, and I grabbed her hand and pulled it out from under the bed covers. She had the tiniest little hand I've ever seen in my life. Her hand was all gnarled from arthritis. And her hand was so cold in a room that was so hot, I thought I was going to die. And I took hold of that sweet little hand. I said to myself, "I wonder how many meals these hands have cooked. I wonder how many little children they've dressed in the morning. I wonder how many directions those fingers have pointed. I wonder how many people she has loved with those hands." And I took that precious little hand and I began to rub her hand. And she said, "Oh, Pastor, your hands are so warm." And I just began to rub her hands as I was talking to her. And then I began to pray for her. And then I began to just stroke the top of her head. And tears began to roll down her cheeks. And after I'd prayed with her, I leant over and gave a big kiss on her cheek. And I said, "I love you, and thank you for letting me come and just have a little friendship with you." And I began to walk out that door, and she said, "Pastor, just wait." She said, "Thank you for coming and praying for me today. I've been so lonely." And then she said, "Thank you for touching me." Is there a dad out there, my dear man, my friend? A lot of things that you do right. You're a wonderful dad. But you're not touching your children.
What a powerful challenge. Maybe you need someone to pray with you and for you right now about being the kind of dad that is connecting with your kids in a spiritual way. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. Jot it down. Store it in your cell. Maybe you can't call right now, but anytime, day or night, it'll connect you with us. Happy to talk or listen or pray or connect you with resources that'll help you grow. 866-899-9673. Now let's dive back into today's message, When God Speaks to Children, with Dr. Don Wilton.
I remember when the Parks boys were born. Boy, there was so much excitement going on in this place. We had to put up with Papa Sam and Miss Jimmy. And I tell you, it was unbelievable. Do you know when the Parks twins were born, they were born premature. There was a time when we thought we were going to lose them. They were put into incubators in ICU. And do you know that the people who know about these things, they actually, as they lay in ICU, Papa Sam told me that they had holes in the windows and they were given instructions, the family and those who were close to those two precious little boys who are doing so well today. They were told that every time you come and visit those tiny little premature babies that could fit into a shoebox, you need to stick your hands through these things that are provided, and you need to hold them and you need to touch them. There was something about what Jesus did when he blessed them. He blessed them by touching them, but that was not all. He not only blessed them by touching them, he blessed them by speaking to them. He blessed them by speaking to them. You see, my friends, the practical action of a touch was accompanied by the practical word of the tongue. God in Christ Jesus actually spoke to these boys and girls. He didn't look at them and say, "Children are better seen and not heard. What have I got to say to you? You're too little. You just be quiet and listen to my conversation. You don't amount to anything. Now, I love you. Go and play on the swing, but don't disturb me." My friends, there is something here that God writes upon our hearts that just grips my own heart. And he looks into my heart and he says, "Daddy," he says, "Mama, pastor, teacher, friend, if you want to bless your children, touch them, hold them, hug them, but speak to them." You might say, "Pastor, that's not realistic." Do you know that I've met people who have said to me, "Pastor, I never ever heard my daddy tell me that he loved me. You know, Pastor, my mama, boy, she can put it together and she does this and she does that, but she just doesn't talk to me. She says nothing." Dads, some of us are pretty good at hooping and hollering for our favorite team, but we don't hoop and holler for our favorite children. Folks, it's not just something that's felt, it's something that's heard. And therein lies the essential ingredient of the blessing of God. Boys and girls, we want you to know that we love you, we accept you, because you've been brought by people who love you so much. And guess what? We bless you. How do we bless you? We bless you because you're just so wonderful to cuddle. We just love to get down on the carpet and just do that. Ah, it's wonderful. We could gobble you up. While some of you were singing, Mr. Clint was telling me to stay in my seat because I wanted to get out there and come and just gobble some of you up. But we also want you to know that we love you. But there was another thing about this extraordinary encounter. When God speaks to his children, he loves on them and he accepts them and he blesses them. But number four, he protects them. Which society doesn't protect their children, we ask? Is that true? Do our children have a hedge of protection about them, even when it's unpopular? Boys and girls, I want to tell you something today. We love you so much. We want to protect you. You mean so, you don't ever have to be afraid. Do you know that? Like even sometimes this week, those big old thunderstorms have come across. Boom, 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 boom. Boy, when they come across, guess what we want to do? Up out of the bed and right into that bed with mom and dad and hide under the pillows. That's okay. See, we love it when it thunders because you get into our beds with us, and that's just fine with us. But boys and girls, we want you to know that we protect you. We're here for you. In fact, that's why we've got brave men and women in places like Iraq giving up their lives. You know why they're doing that? No, yes, there are lots of reasons. But one of those reasons, we want to protect our boys and girls. Lots of reasons why we get into a motor car and we say, "Put on your seatbelt," because we want to protect you. That's why we say sometimes, "Yes, you need to brush your teeth," because we want to protect you. That's why we encourage you to eat healthy foods and to be well and to do things right and to sit up straight. Sit up straight, boys and girls. Because we want to protect you. Thank you, Mr. Clint. But I want you to notice something, folks. There was a focus in this regard of the protection Jesus was talking about. In this regard, Jesus protected them, first of all, from well-meaning, misguided adults. Woo! Hold on now. What was Jesus protecting these children from? From well-meaning, misguided adults. They were known as the disciples. Other disciples were just like me. I'm a disciple. Jesus was protecting them from people like me. If I am well-meaning but misguided, oh, these disciples were well-meaning. They said, no, don't touch the Lord Jesus. He's been busy. He was up until 1 o'clock this morning. He's hungry. He doesn't need this. He doesn't want to be swamped. He's got more important business to do. You need to leave the children out of it. That's just busy work. Jesus said, whoa, I know that you're well-meaning, but you're misguided. Don't do that. Let the children come to me. Forbid them not. Who did he protect them from? From well-meaning, misguided adults. But folks, there's a second group that he protected them from. He protected them from well-intentioned, deliberate adults. Now listen carefully. There are two categories of adults, folks. There are well-meaning, misguided adults. They mean well, but they are misguided. There's another group of adults who relate to children who are well-intentioned. I'm not going to question their parenting skills. I'm not going to question your desire to have your children accomplish this and achieve that. But you are deliberately preventing your children from coming to know Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a tough one. There's a warning here. You say, who might that be? Well, we could give so many examples. I know of one family who came to me, said, man, we need to have this family here. They don't go to church anywhere. And the family said they couldn't let their children come because they were going on vacation this week. I said, well, what's wrong with that? I said, no, they're only going on vacation on Thursday. Now there's something wrong because VBS began on Monday. I've never met a four-year-old who goes on vacation with her parents on Thursday and spends Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday packing. Folks, are you listening? What did Jesus protect these children from? Well-meaning, misguided adults like these disciples who thought they were doing the Lord a favor and everybody else in between, and well-intentioned, deliberate adults who are doing everything right, accepting, providing every opportunity possible for their sons and their daughters to gather around the feet of our Savior. That's why we love kids in this place. That's why our boys and girls are so precious. He loves on them. He accepts them. He blesses them. He protects them. But number five, and I close with this, he honors them. Here in this passage in verse 14, Jesus drives home a point, a parallel between children and heaven, the most incredible place in the world. Why did he honor them in this way? Perhaps because of their unsurpassed joy. Just think of children. Boy, you talk about unsurpassed joy. Perhaps because of their unbiased love. Have you noticed how boys and girls can love in an unbiased fashion? I was walking through a shopping mall some months ago, and I was just walking. Here comes this little girl about 5 years of age, and I couldn't stop looking and smiling at her. And she was standing there. Mother was looking in the window. I said, hey, sweetheart. She said, look at my shoes. I said, oh, no, where did you get those shoes? And I got down on my knees, and I began to look at her shoes. She didn't know me from a bar of soap. She began to talk to me like I made the shoes. Then she said to me, and you know what? I said, what? She said, my dress matches my shoes. I said, oh. Obviously, she had a daddy who didn't notice those things. And we talked about how her dress matched her shoes, and her mother was just standing there smiling. Finally, her mother looked at me. She said, I know you. I said, well, now I know you too. And we just had a little tar-tay-tar, and then the little thing went on her way, and I said, bye, bye, come back and visit me. She said, okay. Unbiased love, folks. Perhaps Jesus honored them because of their uncomplicated lives. I don't think any of our boys and girls woke up this morning and worried about what was going on in Iraq or what they were going to pay to Uncle Sam or who's going to be elected the next president. Perhaps he honored them because of their unparalleled beauty. Just to look upon the faces of our sons and daughters, what do we see? The ultimate expression of the face of a God who made us in his image and is going to take us to a heaven that is going to be a place of unparalleled beauty. Perhaps he honored them because of their unspoiled hearts. Sometimes I wish I could be four again, not because I want to be four. I have no desire to be four, but I wish I could turn the clock back so that I could begin again with an unspoiled heart. What does the Bible teach us about heaven, folks? It's a place of unsurpassed joy. It's a place of unbiased love. It's a place of uncomplicated lives. It's a place of unparalleled beauty. It's a place where people are going to gather like you and me with unspoiled hearts because we are found in the presence of a righteous and a holy God. Jesus said, take a look into the face of children.
A powerful message today, and perhaps the Lord has convicted you in a number of different ways, but one might be the need to be childlike in your faith. I pray that you would open your heart right now to see what God might be asking you to do next. What kind of course correction is God calling you to? Is it a radical course correction, literally turning around and heading in a fresh new way, following Jesus? Is it a course adjustment, just correcting back into the center of His will instead of His permissive will? I pray you'd open your heart to Dr. Don Wilton as he closes our program next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place, so you can begin this wonderful journey.
It's exciting to see how God's Word and the leading and teaching of our pastor, Dr. Wilton, has given us opportunity to make a change. Perhaps you prayed along with Dr. Wilton a while ago and you'd like to share what God's doing in your life. We'd love to hear from you. Dr. Don would love to hear from you. His email is don, D-O-N, at tewonline.org. We'd love to hear how God's moving in your life. We'd love to hear. If you want to call us and tell us as well, we'll make sure Dr. Don gets the message. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. Or there's a world of great opportunities to connect online as well.
Do you know someone that could use some encouragement? We're here to help. Visit our online web store at tewonline.org. It's like having a Christian bookstore at your fingertips 24 hours a day. You will find sermon messages, books, and outreach cards. Let us take care of the shipping and help you send a word of hope today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Oh, it's been an exciting time of studying God's Word in this When God Speaks series from Dr. Wilton. Tomorrow, it's When God Speaks to a Nation. I hope you'll join us and invite a friend to join us as well. Remember, we can connect online between now and there at tewonline.org.